Simulating soil nitrogen availability and loss in the corn production systems. So I'm Kamaljeet Bangar. I'm a postdoctoral research associate at the University of Illinois. And here I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Cameron, Junwin Wang, Emerson, and Omar Muhammad. So this is the outline of presentation. We'll start with nitrogen management concerns. In the methods section, I will provide the framework of research, then results, and the web app development for the corn growers. Nitrogen cycle is very complex. You can see it can, some part of nitrogen, for example, ammonia, it can lost to the atmosphere from ammonia volatilization, or it can interact with number of microbial communities, and it can be denitrified, again can be lost to the atmosphere in the form of nitrous oxide gases. A significant portion of the nitrogen, it ends up in the water bodies and create a eutrophication problem. So all these interactions among precipitation, soil microbial communities, and other soil management practices, it make it very difficult to predict the fate of nitrogen in the real-world systems. I don't think I need to explain this slide because most of us are familiar with this kind of data. This is the nitrogen use in the United States from 1960s to 2010. You can see nitrogen fertilizer has become an integral part and its use has increased more than twofold. And corn, it receives 35 to 50% of the total nitrogen in the U.S. I think let's talk specifically about Illinois. As you can see in this figure, this yellow color means the croplands, and the red color means the urban area. You can see Illinois is dominated by croplands, and particularly corn. Nitrogen application rate, average nitrogen application rate is about 190 kilograms per hectare. It was in 2010. Now I assume it should be a little bit higher. If we consider the economics, 21 to 23% of the total non-land cost, it is for the nitrogen fertilizers only. However, 5 to more than 28 kilograms of nitrogen, it is lost in the water with maybe leaching or runoff, which therefore it represents not only the economic losses, but also the environmental implications. Early season weather, it really affects nitrogen management strategies. For example, if we consider this hypothetical nitrogen uptake curve, this is the time period x-axis from November to October, and this is the soil or plant nitrogen. So this is the hypothetical nitrogen uptake curve by the corn crop. So in Illinois, we apply fertilizer either in fall, means sometimes in November, or in spring season, means sometimes in April. If fertilizer is applied at this point, in normal year, this is the nitrogen supplying capacity. So at the end of this much fertilizer is a deficit, when farmer need to apply this much of fertilizer to maximize the crop growth. However, consider some kind of wet spring season when precipitation showers are intense. In that case, nitrogen will be lost with the water, and the deficit will increase. So in this case, farmer will need to supplement more nitrogen from fertilizers. However, there are cases when farmer does not even need to apply any fertilizer after fall or spring application. It is sufficient for the crop growth. So this is the critical time period when farmers want to know, like, what exactly is the status of nitrogen in their soil. So that's the reason they ask for some kind of tools which could tell them, like, how they are nitrogen status in their soils. So that's why we need in-season nitrogen management tools. So when I was reviewing, I came across two such tools. One is Adaptan. It was developed by Cornell University, but later commercialized. It can, and second tool is this climate field view. It was developed by, again, another private company, Climate Corp. And both these tools can provide nitrogen status or nitrogen recommendations in the crop growing season. But there is a drawback with these two tools. The source code is not publicly available. So if a person like me or you want to develop something based on these models or want to find some scientific mechanisms, we probably cannot do because we do not have the source codes. So that's the reason we need some open source decision support tool where we can find the mechanisms or someone can improve these kind of tools later on. So based on this, we formed this kind of research framework. The basis of this will be a crop model, open source crop model, and we have developed this geospatial database for basic model inputs like weather or soils, and we will ask the grower to provide other information, for example, fertilizer or planting date. And this these two inputs will drive the crop model. And this will be calibrated continuously with the field experimental data. And the calibrated version of it will provide the real-time prediction of ammonium or nitrate in the corn growing season. So keeping this thing in mind, in this particular study, our objective was to calibrate the DSET model, which is the open source model, with the field available data on soil nitrogen status in Illinois. And second objective was to apply the calibrated version of this model to estimate soil nitrogen status in the growing season. So this is a little bit about the DSAC model. Again, I'm emphasizing here, this is open source model. So basis of this model is this cropping system model. For maize or corn, it uses Sears maize model. And soil component, soil organic carbon decomposition or other soil processes are from this Century model. And this model can output daily soil nitrogen balance, means ammonium and nitrate status. That's what we need to know, the nitrogen status. This model needs a number of inputs. For developing the weather inputs, we used Illinois Climate Network stations. These are the different stations. Total, there are 19 stations. And we got these model inputs, like solar radiations, Tmax means maximum temperature, minimum temperature, wind speed, evapotranspiration, and relative humidity. And for the soils part, we got the data from G-Servo data. And here also, these are the properties that we generated or directly downloaded, for example, texture, drainage coefficient, or runoff curve number. After generating the model inputs, we had to calibrate the model, means to improve the model parameters so that model closely fit with the field data. To calibrate the model, we used seven sites. In these seven sites, there were basically three treatments. Control means there was no fertilizer, and 224 fall means 224 kilograms of nitrogen applied somewhere in November. And similarly, there was another treatment with the same amount, but the application was in on the first of May. And in these seven sites, soil nitrogen status was monitored at two soil depths at approximately 10 to 14 day interval throughout the growing season. I have different names for these stations. For example, three names are like Perry, Bronston, and Dixon Springs. And other four sites are just site 1 and site 2 because these are the on-farm sites. And these with the names were the Illinois nitrogen track experiments. So as I discussed with some of you before this meeting, this calibration process, it was really difficult. In the step one, we improved, we followed the strategy that was provided with the DSAT model. means to improve the plant genetic coefficients. It improved crop nitrogen uptake by the crop and crop yield, but it did not really improve the soil nitrogen status. That's what we needed. So what I did, I improved the soil organic matter decomposition parameters. I did not dare to change them too much, but I changed them a little bit so that our model fits with the field data. So after tuning the decomposition and plant parameters, our next step was model validation. Validation was determining the model performance with independent field data. Again here, to validate the model, we used these three sites. In these three sites, nitrogen treatments were similar, including control to 24 fall and to 24 spring application. And similarly, in these sites, soil nitrogen status was monitored again at a 10 to 14 days interval for both 2014 and 2016 cropping seasons. But you can see these were just three sites, but we needed more robust validation to know if our model is working across Illinois. So what we did in the second step, we made use of these NWatch data sites. There are more than 200 sites, means the farmers' fields. In the NWatch program, nitrogen status is monitored at farmers' fields several times in a year. It may be two times or four times. There is no fixed number. However, there are concerns associated with the NWatch data. For example, this is not replicated, and there is very limited information on the crop management. So what we did here, we excluded all those observations here where we did not have information on nitrogen fertilizer and other related information. So after doing this, I will show you some of the actual validation results. First validation result is at Urbana nitrogen track site experiment. Here, x-axis is the time from November to July, and this y-axis is the soil nitrogen from 0 to 70 ppm for both the years, 2015 and 2016. You can see here model actually predicted the status of the soil nitrogen status. I'm repeating here again. This continuous line is the model predicted value. It's a line because it's a daily value. And this red color dot is the real observation from the field. And you can see our model performed fairly well across three treatments and two depths for both the years. And more interestingly, model is able to capture these kind of peaks. For example, this is a control treatment, means no nitrogen was applied and there is a spike, and model was able to capture this kind of peaks. And again here, this is the second model validation side. The treatments were similar, and the timings were also similar to the previous slides. Here also model performed fairly well. It can predict this kind of pattern. And coming to the third validation, yes, here also we have the similar treatments, 2 years and both the depths. Here also our model performed fairly well. However, there is one treatment, 224 fall, where model was unable to predict the pattern. So I'm trying to figure out if it is data problem or the model problem. So I have not yet come up with this. If you exclude this, others were okay. Then, after doing these validations, we did the validation with the NWatch data. I will not go into too much details, but I will simply show few sites in the central part and a few sites in the northern part. You can see model is actually capturing the variability. For example, you can see this is a reading somewhere in May, and its model is exactly the same number. So here again, it's somewhere in the north, and you can see the pattern. So it is picking up. So total there were 200 sites. From 200, there were total 30 sites which were usable for our study. So after doing these validations, we need to know if model has performed okay, or if it is poor, or if it is good. So I did three parameters. One is normalized root mean square error. It basically quantifies the relative difference between predicted and measured values, and it was 17.8%. In general, if this number is between 10 and 20, we can say model is fair performer. And similarly, there is another index, d-index, and it's a measure of dispersion, and its value was 0.79. Generally, if value is more than 0.5, it indicates less inconsistencies in the model. And similarly, there was a third parameter which was close to zero. If it is close to zero, it is considered good. So based on these three parameters, we can say that model has fair performance in predicting soil nitrogen status in the corn growing season. After this validation, our next step was to develop the automation for our web tool. We developed this kind of automation using the MATLAB codes, where we can provide the geographical location. Based on the geographical location, it can automatically collect the soils data and the weather station data, and it will generate the input files. And the input files will be another file with the fertilizer information, and all this information will actually run the model, and we will get the model output. It can be crop yield or inorganic nitrogen. So after developing this automation, we did one model simulation exercise in which model was run to predict soil nitrogen status in the corn growing season. Again, I'm keeping the treatments consistent, like control and to fall and spring applications. And we run the model at more than 5,000 points, because DSAT is a point-based model. And the output from these point-based simulations was interpolated to HUC codes, which means the watersheds. We wanted to see if we can conclude something at watershed or regional scale based on these points. So we selected one day, 15th of the June 2016. It is the time when farmers actually want to know the status of nitrogen. So our model has predicted this kind of a result. I mean, in the control treatment, there was 5 ppm of inorganic nitrogen. Obviously, these two treatments which received fertilizers, they had more. But interestingly, spring application had 2-fold higher inorganic nitrogen than the fall application, which means this is spring application. There is a loss of nitrogen in the fall application, but this does not mean change in the crop yield. Then we compared the nitrogen status compared to the planting time. More than 50% of the nitrogen was lost. This is the proportion of nitrogen as compared to the planting date, and more than 50% of the nitrogen was lost on June 15th, lost or maybe uptaken by the crop. And similarly, we saw the model prediction at second depth. At second depth, you can see there is not really much going on, and concentration of soil nitrogen was very low. There is one interesting fact I have not checked in details yet. Fall application has slightly higher nitrogen at the second depth. It may be because of leaching, but leaching from this application. So this exercise, we can say that overall model can predict the impact of nitrogen fertilizer as well as soil depth on the soil organic nitrogen status. So we have calibrated the model, validated, and we did one regional exercise using multiple point simulations. Now coming back to our research framework, our idea was to develop a web app based on the model. Which can be run automatically by growers. So keeping this in mind, we have generated this kind of user interface of our web tool. So farmer can look select any location within Illinois. For example, he can click here. It will automatically collect its longitudes and latitudes, and then farmer can provide the crop variety information and some other information like planting date and nitrogen application history. And after farmer puts this information, this model can generate this kind of information. For example, the soil nitrogen concentration status. He will come to know that on December, in December, concentration was like this, and it has decreased to this particular date by this much. Then he can decide, like, how different treatments or treatments are doing with the nitrogen status in the field. So I would like to summarize my research. So what we have done, we have calibrated the DSAT model using the field observed soil nitrogen status, and then we checked the model performance. It was fair in predicting soil nitrogen status across soil types, which is actually very difficult using this kind of model. It means this model can be translated, and we have translated this model into a web app for corn growers, which will be released sometime soon after going through some more validations. And currently what we are doing, we are further validating the performance of the web tool that we have generated using the DSAT model. So this is the ongoing work with the web tool. So at the end, I would like to acknowledge Illinois Nutrient Research and Education Council for providing the funding for this research project, as well as I would like to acknowledge the NWatch, which provided the data we used for the validation in the validation process, because it's very difficult to find the data for the model validation. Thank you. Basically, they use the century model only for the DSAT. I mean, it was kind of independent model, so everything which is there. So I don't think there was a separate nitrification model. It was the century model only. Okay. Yeah, with the different pools of the organic matter. Here we in this model we had the differentiation between ammonium and the nitrate, but I just for simplification I clubbed them together. It predicts denitrification loss. I checked some of the numbers, but I did not robustly calibrate that nitrogen loss pathway. Nitrification and denitrification both.
And its water
It's with the water content. Yeah.